Yesterday was Super Tuesday when 15 different states and several U.S. territories hold their presidential primary elections, and it was fantastic. Well, that is, unless you were neocon Nikki Haley, who is now a laughingstock even among those in the liberal media who know that she is functioning as a Democrat operative. But her campaign has been such a tremendous failure that they literally can't help but laugh at her.
Yeah. What's Haley going to do? Like, I mean, you know.
Same thing she's been doing. Why stop?
Yeah, I guess that's right. I mean, I guess the money keeps rolling in, right?
From her Democrat donors.
You can still continue to fundraise.
It doesn't cost her anything to keep campaigning. She doesn't have another job.
Nope.
It's true.
I mean, the point of
it. I guess if you win a state. I mean, I guess I'm just sort of like running the math on the outcome here.
The math has been obvious for many months now. So obvious, in fact, that last night, the Nikki Haley campaign didn't even hold an official watch party in any of the 15 different states, and she didn't even show her face after the voting commenced.
We go now to CBS News campaign reporter Nidio Cavazos, who is in Charleston, South Carolina, where Nikki Haley is spending Super Tuesday. And I guess, Nidia, the key there is that's where she's spending Super Tuesday, but there isn't even a watch party. Explain the mood.
That's exactly right, Major. There is no watch party here in Charleston, and it's quite the opposite of an atmosphere compared to the Trump campaign. But as far as Haley, we know she's in Charleston, and we know she'll be spending the evening and watching the results with her team. That is the latest information we've received from her campaign. You know, they've said it's a festive mood for them, despite the fact that they're not having a watch party, even though it's Super Tuesday. They've said there's a lot of food in the room, they're playing music, and it's overall a festive tone to the night, and they've also referred to themselves as happy warriors. This is the message that we've been getting from Haley's campaign during the morning and today, and there will be no public remarks expected from Haley. And, you know, as far as Haley...
MSNBC is even more perplexed and amused at just how out of touch the Haley campaign is.
In terms of the new reporting that we have from just outside of her campaign headquarters, I'm told by a campaign source that the mood inside, and this might surprise you, is jubilant. And throughout the day, I have heard the phrase happy warrior from all of these folks that are either getting out the vote for Nikki Haley in these waning hours of Super Tuesday, or who are hunkered down after traveling to over 7 or 8 states in just as many days these last week and a half.
Did you catch that? She had to stop herself from busting out laughing.
The idea that the mood is jubilant here, it almost gives the sense of like dancing on the deck of the Titanic almost.
Well, Ali, let me ask you to figure out what that tune is then.
This North Carolina voter who MSNBC bumped into outside of the polls put it in a little more polite way.
Nikki Haley is irrelevant.
Why irrelevant?
Because it's obvious that she's just there representing the rhino part of the Republican Party, and she has no chance. And she knows it, and everyone knows it. It's self-evident.
But this woman in Allen, Texas, said it better than any political pundit anywhere.
Ainsley said, I would love the reaction from a woman in the crowd. And
I wouldn't vote for a woman. And especially, you know, Nikki Haley, I'm just going to say this. She's probably menopausal. We don't need that.
Okay. She said, how about we vote for people regardless of their gender, just the right person for the job for America.
Yeah. And that's kind of, thanks so much, Will. That's kind of interesting.
That's not what she said at all, Mr. Reporter. She reiterated what I've been saying, what no political pundit in the mainstream or not even anyone in Conservative Inc. would dare say, but no woman should ever be president, especially Nikki Haley. In fact, back in 2016, I did a whole episode of Man on the Street Monday about this, titled, The President is a Man's Job, Women Admit.
Yeah, I just don't think Hillary is just doing she doesn't have the right, you know, stuff going on.
Anatomy.
To run the country?
Yeah, I honestly don't think a woman president would be great for us. I don't think a woman should
run man's job.
Yeah, I really do. I really do believe a man should run our country.
Thank God. Is the presidency a man's job? Should we allow a woman to become president? Could she even handle it?
I don't, in my opinion, no. I think a man would handle it better. I just think a boy should be a president.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. I don't think a girl should do it at all.
But it's a man's job.
Yeah, that's all I have to say.
Do you think the presidency's a man's job, or could a woman be trusted with that position?
I think it's a man's job.
Well, you do.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah. I totally think it's a man's job.
Yes. What are you doing later tonight?
Subscribe to my channel if you're new here, by the way, because you're obviously not going to get information and analysis like this anywhere else. The woman did win one state yesterday, by the way, Vermont, because it's an open primary, which means that anybody from any political party can vote for any candidate. And so all of the Democrats voted for neocon Nikki because they knew that Joe Biden was going to win the Democrat primary because he doesn't have any formidable challenger. And so tons of Democrats in Vermont, which is a very liberal state as it is, voted for her, putting her over the edge in the only one of the 15 different states yesterday. But Joy Reid, the angry black woman on MSNBC, thinks that nobody supported neocon Nikki Haley in the Republican Party because she's a woman of color.
But Republican voters don't vote that way. They don't vote based on economics or based on the benefits they're getting economically from the president. They're increasingly, from the Tea Party on, they're voting on race. They're voting on this idea of an invasion of brown people over the border. The idea that they can't get whatever job they want. A black person got it, therefore drive all the blacks out of the colleges, get rid of DEI. That is what they're voting on. They're just voting specifically on racial animus. Which, at this stage, it isn't about economics.
No.
I know this sounds strange, Joy. Actually, it sounds strange to everyone. But in this instance, because a broken clock is right twice a day, we must turn over to CNN to get a shockingly reasonable assessment of what it is that's going on here.
And so what you have here is, you know, he has remade the party in his image. There are still some Republicans who are trying to take it away, like take it back. Right? That's over. That's over. There's no back. That party doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
It just doesn't. You know, it just doesn't. Look at the House of Representatives. Look at what's happening in the United States Senate. Mitch McConnell stepping aside. You know, and some of the more governing conservatives trying to keep their power even just within the Senate Republican conference. This is a new Republican Party. And so you have a very formidable Republican frontrunner who has remade the party in his image. And I know a lot of people at home are asking, well, wait a minute. We all saw January 6th. Wait a minute. Innocent until proven guilty. But there's all these cases. A majority of these voters are going to the polls in most of these states still saying that, you know, Donald Trump should be president. Yeah. And so this is his party.
More working class people, including voters of color, African-American men primarily, but also Latinos.
Jake Tapeworm admitted one of the Democrats' greatest fears there in that there is a significant portion of black voters who are joining the Trump train and finally leaving the Democrat plantation. And since our country has been invaded by 7 or 8 million criminal invader or illegal aliens just over the last 3 years alone under the Biden administration, not to mention the tens of millions that have been flowing in for the past several decades, bringing the grand total to approximately 30 million of them. 1 out of 10, approximately now, people walking around the United States is a criminal invader, an illegal alien. And so that's going to be probably the biggest issue on the minds of Americans in the election. And here are the elitist Democrats on MSNBC just having a good old time laughing at Americans who are tired of these 30 million people siphoning off all of our tax dollars that should be going to Americans, veterans, to fixing the infrastructure in the country, to the educational system, but instead is being stolen by the invaders.
I mean, if you look at some of these exit polls, I mean, I live in Virginia. Immigration was the number one issue. Yeah. Again, these could change in Virginia.
Well, Virginia does have a border with West Virginia. Very, very contested area.
Build a wall. Like, what?
Imagine being that out of touch and not understanding that 30 million illegal aliens living in a country, most of whom are on welfare and sucking up the resources in schools and hospitals, are affecting everyday average Americans across the entire country in all 50 states, and they're sitting there just laughing about it. Something that everybody had a good laugh at last night, however, is the fact that old Joe lost the presidential primary in the American Samoa territory to, well, wait for it.
NBC News can now project that the winner.
No.
Yeah, there he is.
Wow.
The winner of the Democratic presidential contest in American Samoa is that person.
Wow.
Jason Palmer. Wow. The total number of votes cast. Okay.
He's not even Samoan. He doesn't even live on the island. He lives here on the mainland of the United States. And he challenged old Joe And nobody in the media has ever even heard his name before. And he literally beat old Joe in the primary. So at this point, while Donald Trump isn't officially, technically the Republican nominee, he'll clinch that, I think, next week after the Georgia primary. It's a done deal. And so this is the guy he's going to presumably be facing off against in November.
I better not start the questions. I'll get in trouble.
What's your message for Super Tuesday voters?
Everyone, please move this way.
Super Tuesday, say, do you have a message for voters?
Thanks, come on.
Thank you so much. Thank you all.
He's right about that. If he answers a single question in front of a camera live, unedited, he will get into trouble. His campaign will get in even more trouble than it's already in. And I'm sure that he'll personally get into trouble because his staff is going to yell at him and probably won't allow him to have any ice cream tonight. So this is where we're at now. The president of the United States, historically, traditionally, the most powerful man in the world, is not allowed to answer questions from the media or he'll get into trouble. And remember, he has let it slip like a dozen times that he will get into trouble if he answers questions. He can't even keep his mouth shut. How on earth is this guy going to make it through a presidential campaign for the next 8 months? A campaign which, I mean, for all intents and purposes, has really only just begun. Something else that recently began, in case you missed it, is my new Sorry No Vacancy Deport Them All shirt, which you should order from my online store at markdes.com or click the link in the description below. Or get a classic Trump 2020 Wanted for President shirt or any of my awesome designs, all available, a t-shirt, long sleeve, and a hoodie, and a whole bunch of different colors as well. So head on over to markdes.com or click the link in the description below and check them out.